Your reasons for listening to this show, well, those are your own. But just keep in mind that the views, information, or opinions expressed on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not necessarily represent those of our sponsors. Yeah, it's called free speech, people. Nobody's forcing you to listen.
Get ready for your daily dose of Tuttle.
The all-time greatest intern slash producer we've ever had, of course, Tuttle. Tuttle in Florida.
From the Hobo Fish Camp, it's the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
No wonder nobody likes you, Tuttle. Everything's a goddamn debate.
Greetings and welcome to another edition of the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hope you guys are enjoying your day so far. Make sure you go to my website, Tuttle.net. When you go to Tuttle.net, you're going to be able to find every single place you can find me online. That's social media. How to contact me. There's a couple of ways you can contact me. You can email me, Tuttle@gmail.com. That's Tuttle with two Ds, Tuddle@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Once again, that is 407-270-3044.
Hey, Tuttle, it's Jerry in New Smyrna. I've been listening to you since the beginning. Pretty much caught every one of your episodes, except for the ones with Ciroc on it. Nothing personal. I just can't stand listening to him.
Listen, Jerry, I don't want you to think that I'm attacking you. Look, everybody is entitled to their opinion. I like Ciroc. I really respect his hustle. I do get a lot of great feedback from him, but listen, there's a lot of people that don't like me. And I learned this from people in the business. Because when I first started out in radio, I thought, oh man, somebody hated me. Somebody hated me. But I learned that you have not actually made it in radio or entertainment until you do get some haters. So I understand Ciroc is not for everybody. I could be a dick. I could be like, oh, well, I have Charlie Alamo on all the time and he's a white guy. So what is this? Is this a black white thing? No, I'm not. I could make that joke. Could be a dick, but I'm not going to say that. What I'm trying to say is I completely respect your opinion, but also know that there are a lot of people that do like Ciroc when he is on the show.
Anyway, I just listened to your man on the street stuff with the Trump protesters or Trump supporters, I guess, in Port Orange. And I was working in the Shores, and I live in New Smyrna, so I drove past those guys. I saw those exact people, and I just want to thank you for going out there and confronting those morons. But
I appreciate that, Jerry. I really, really do, because I did get a lot of hate. A lot of people were tweeting at me. People were sending me stuff on Facebook saying that, oh, you're a liberal, you're a libtard. You wouldn't have done this to a bunch of Biden supporters. But, I mean, even Jerry's backing me up that these people are a lot of morons. I even said this on the show whenever I replayed and I kind of broke down the audio, is that if you're out there protesting, the whole thing about protesting is getting your word out there. And they had nobody out there that was covering their cause or whatever they were wanting to bitch about. And once somebody finally is interested and wants to put a camera in their face, they can't answer any questions. And when you ask them a tough question, they just want to use all the buzzwords that the Republicans use. But I think you're spot on, Jerry, whenever you called them morons, because they were absolute. Here, I'll add to it. They were racist morons as well.
As you could tell, doesn't do anything. I mean, they're just too stupid. Either way, all of the man on the street stuff that you do is great. Keep it up. And I love your podcast. Thanks a lot.
Wow. Hey, Jerry, dude, one of the best voicemails that I've gotten in a really, really long time. And I cannot thank you enough, Jerry, for supporting the content. It's actually kind of cool to hear from somebody local. Because that's one of the things that you forget about when you've been working terrestrial radio for so long, like it's only local. When you're doing a podcast, like I've told you guys, one of the most, and I still have not been able to figure it out, the most popular city that I'm on in the United States is Wichita, Kansas. Well, behind Tampa. Tampa is a given because I worked there for the past 10 years, but Wichita, Kansas, where the hell does that come from? But it's nice to have somebody from Volusia County. And Jerry, if I still had a merch guy, that I don't even know is still alive because I cannot get a hold of him, I would send you a shirt and a hat, but I got to find another merch guy. Matter of fact, if you listen to this podcast and you do merch, like you do t-shirt printing or any apparel, and you would like to strike a deal with me, I will run an advertisement absolutely free for you. And we, let's get in business. Let's get in bed with each other. I'll be the bottom. You can be the top. And let's sell some merchandise. So thank you very, very much, Jerry, for your voicemail. The first story that I want to get into today, and before I get into it, everybody thinks that the Mr. Hand video is an urban legend. And I'll tell you that it's not, because I have seen it firsthand. Because you got to understand, look, I don't go out and purposely look for all this messed up stuff that's on the internet. But we were talking about this in the early ages of my radio career, and they all said it was an urban legend. So one of the producers said, find this video, find this video. I found the video. And if you don't know what Mr. Hand is, Mr. Hand, it's labeled Mr. Hand. I don't know exactly what the guy's name was, but he wanted to get fucked by a horse. He is a male. He is a man. And he wanted to be penetrated by a horse penis. Now, I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen a horse penis, because sometimes they'll just lay it out there. I think sometimes some of these horses are showing off. But goddamn, this guy ended up dying because the horse did, after, you know, some coercing. Yeah, I meant that pun intended, coercing. The horse penis actually ripped out the guy's guts. Yeah, that's, well, I mean, what is to be expected? I mean, like I said, back to if you've ever seen a horse penis, what do you think it's going to do if it goes in your butthole? It's not going to be a good thing.
I don't think anybody's prepared for something like this.
Hillary Swar owns the Turner Hill Equestrian Stables, where she installed security cameras to protect the equipment and the 22 horses inside.
I don't want anybody to think that I'm, like, self-glossing and that my show, like, goes into territories that no other show ever has done before. But, like, what if this woman, like, why, for one, would you have a bunch of cameras on the horses? I could see, you know, security to protect your equipment. But what if this woman, and I'm kind of trying to play devil's advocate here or try to give you a different angle. What if this woman was running some type of bestiality website like horsefucker.com, and this is why she had all the security footage up there? Like, this was kind of like, you know, leaving a toddler or a minor out there with a bunch of pedophiles. It's kind of like chumming the water. You maybe leave the gate open a little bit because, you know, there's a lot of guys that are into bestiality that live in your area, and you want to capture it on film because you know that these people are not going to go to the cops and be like, oh, yeah, they recorded me, molesting a horse. No. What if this woman the whole time was kind of just luring these men in there? They're like, oh, my God, this is so easy. They're hidden cameras all over the place. All the gates are unlocked. It says stud horses right at the entrance of the farm. And they're like, oh my God, stud horses. I got to go check this out. I'm just saying, I mean, look, there's a lot of weird ass people out there.
I did get an alarm set off by my security system that I did have a break in.
After getting the alert around 4:30 Thursday morning, she checked the cameras, seeing a man inside the stable abusing one of the horses in a sexual manner.
This is one of the main reasons I said that local news, even national news, doesn't have the balls. Like, seriously, I think the news should never be censored. Give us the real thing. Let everything rip, okay? I will say today, I will give NBC credit. I was watching the hearing, the committee for the Capitol riots that were going on, and they had like this mixtape of all the footage from the riots itself, and they did not edit out any of the curse words at all. Like, they had fuck, shit, cocksucker, the N-word, just every single thing, and they let it rip. They let it rip on national news. So I gotta say, Bravo to you, NBC. I don't know if all the other news sources did it. I just know that I was watching NBC at the time, and they let it rip. But you can't tell me that, oh, you can't be so vague to say that, oh, the guy was abusing the horse in a sexual way. You got to let me know. I need to know some details. Was the guy trying to be the top? Like, was he trying to put his penis in the horse? Or was he trying to be the bottom like Mr. Hand? Or was he just trying to, you know, speaking of Mr. Hand, giving a handy? Was he trying to masturbate a horse?
I felt violated. I felt lost. I felt scared.
Way to make it all about you, bitch. And you say you're violated? You're not the horse that was getting sexually abused by some sicko that snuck onto your farm, allegedly. Still kind of think that, you know, you made it a little bit too easy. And why you would have cameras on all your horses and stuff. Bestiality website, horsefucker.com. I'm sure somebody owns that web domain. Matter of fact, I might have to check that out after the show. But how do you feel violated? Like, seriously, I could see that you could be mad because somebody did that to your horse or they were trying to steal your equipment. But come on. Don't try to make this story all about yourself, because you were not the one that was violated. The horse was.
You can see the man wearing a blue sweatshirt. Suar says he knew how to handle horses.
Okay, I don't think it was done on purpose, but it could have been. And if it is, bravo to you. I got to give you dabs for that one. The way that she said it looked like he knew how to handle horses. So that leads me to believe that he was just wanting to jack a horse off. And come on, I mean, they do like artificially inseminate horses. And I don't know if you've ever seen it. They do have like this little fake horse that the studs will go up to, and they got to like guide the penis into the fake horse to collect the semen. Because like these horses that have won the Triple Crown, you're talking like $1 million a nut from some of these studs.
Someone who's familiar, someone with horses, someone perhaps in the business was savvy enough to get into the barn.
She says the man was gone by the time anyone could get to the stables.
See, this only backs up my thing that this woman has a bestiality website called horsefucker.com. Because listen, if you own a farm, you have guns on the premises. And if you have this security system and you were alerted, how did the guy get away? You could have easily, like, gunned this guy down. I mean, it is a clean shoot. I don't know what state this is in, but I'm telling you right now, if I owned a horse farm and I caught a dude, like, you know, butt-fucking one of my horses or jacking them off, oh, that's a clean shoot all day. Like, you're on my property molesting my horses, but this guy, you know, fortunately, hand quotes, got away. Yeah, great security system you got there, lady.
To see that someone would come into my own home and degrade a positive environment left me feeling violated.
This is Miss Bell.
DNA was collected from the mayor and is being processed.
All right, different twist to the story. It was a mayor. They got DNA. So that means that this guy was sticking his penis inside a female horse. Like, all right, if you are, this is a serious question. I like to get interaction from you. You can email me, Tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. If you are a guy that is into bestiality, what is worse? What is worse? Being caught molesting a female horse or being caught molesting a male horse? I would love to hear from you. I know it's a dumbass question, but it's just something that crossed my mind. So if it was a mare and they collected DNA, that means he busted inside the horse. And I'm not trying to be a shock jock or be over-the-top graphic. But see, like I said, this is the type of stuff, the details that the news will not give you.
As police investigate, Suar is sending a message to her community saying she wants this man caught.
I have friends in this town. I have made friends with neighbors, and this could have happened to anybody.
See, I got to do a little bit of research and find out exactly where this happened at, because the woman kind of made it seem like this is like a rampant, like, drug type problem that they have in their community, that there's a bunch of just rabid whore fuckers running around and roaming the streets of this community. Because she acted like, oh, this could have happened to any of my other... This could be like Pizzagate. You know, I'm not a big, like, you know, conspiracy theory type guy, but if you don't know what Pizzagate is, you know, they talk about this pizza shop or whatever that is connected with some higher up politicians that, you know, are in sex trade with minors and stuff. This could be a whole Pizzagate horse fucking story. Just saying. I don't even know where to go with this. I know that I'm going way off course with this whole thing. Yeah, I'm being a little manic today. It's better than being depressed. So, you know, cut me a break, people. Just cut me a break. I'm going to take a quick break. When I come back, I want to talk about a situation that happened to me yesterday. We all have these, like, little incidents or encounters that we never think that would ever happen to us in a million years. Like, you don't even think about it. And I'm going to share that story next. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Great news, folks. You now have the chance to see the face in front of that sexy voice. Right you are, sir. The Tuttle Daily Podcast streams Monday to Friday on YouTube. Anything can happen at the Hobo Fish Camp.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay, sir. That's enough. Okay. So go to youtube.com/Tuttle. Don't forget to subscribe and hit that bell button so you're notified anytime Tuttle goes live. Good job, sir. Questions? Comments? Concerns? Compliments? Or do you just want to tell Tuttle to fuck off? In any event, contact Tuttle. Tuttle@gmail.com.
It's Tuttle with two D's, dumbass.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Make sure you go to my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. Make sure you subscribe and hit that bell button, because when you hit that bell button, you're going to get alerted to any time I go live or upload any new content. All the shows that I do that you hear here, I mean, you know, a lot of people don't understand podcasts and stuff. Tell people, help spread the word. Tell them the full shows that I do here on the Tuttle Daily Podcast are available on my YouTube channel, youtube.com/Tuttle. So I wanted to keep today's show a little light, but I also think the great thing about talk radio and podcasts is the personal stories. You guys know that my dad just recently passed away. I've talked about this. My dad did not even graduate out of high school. He learned a trade, became a very well-respected steel erection worker, a.k.a. an iron worker, worked his way up, helped another guy build one of the biggest ironworking companies in the Orlando area, and a lot of the foremen respected him tremendously. They looked at him as like a mentor. I told you guys the story of the three brothers that had immigrated here to the United States. And my dad gave them a chance, made them a foreman, put them in charge, gave them their own crew. They ended up going out and starting their own steel erection company. And just out of respect, each of the brothers came and tried to give my dad like a grand, like a G-ball a piece. And my dad gave it back to him. He said, you know what? Nope. You earned everything that I gave you. Use this money to buy new equipment for your business and stuff. Well, there was this one foreman, because a lot of you guys don't know this. I was an iron worker when I was only part-time working at Real Radio 104.1, and I worked on this one guy's crew. His name was Mark Farley. Had not seen Mark Farley. God damn, it's probably 12, 15 years, and I hear a knock at the door. Very, very happy knock. Hey, Mr. Wayne, Mr. Fowler, coming by and to see you. I want to come see my buddy, my mentor. I was like, oh, shit. Walked out, and at first I didn't really recognize him, and I was like, your name's Mark, right? Like, yeah, he was like, I wanted to come by and say hi to your dad, and it was one of those situations that I never thought that I would be in my life. We all have those moments that we never feel like we're ever going to be in that type of situation. And I had to tell him that my pops passed away a month ago. And I don't know if you know any iron workers, but they are some of the toughest guys in the world. Everybody wants to talk about hockey players, NFL players. I've seen iron workers just be hungover as fuck, be injured, and still show up and give 110%. And they're just men. Like, they're just manly men. And I've never seen an iron worker cry, but man, this guy, and I'm not saying anything bad, but it's just a testament to what type of person my dad was, because he was bawling like a baby. He was like, man, I planned on coming a month ago and I put off my trip and I missed it. And it just was one of those moments, man. And I would be lying if I say that it didn't like put me in a bad mood or depress me a little bit. But I felt even worse for him because it just the emotion and it just like I said, it just shows that my dad was loved not only by his family, but the people he worked with and his friends. So I'm sorry, guys. I really didn't mean to get into a serious thing. I just wanted to share that with you. It was just one of those situations that I thought that I would never be in. All right. Shaking it off. I got some great audio here that I want to play for you. We've all flown before. I remember my first plane flight was not until I worked with the Monsters. We were partners with the XFL. We had a team called the Orlando Rage in Orlando. And the Orlando Rage ownership flew us up to Chicago for one of the games. And that was the first time I ever flew. And they don't call it the Windy City for any for no reason at all, because it was the worst turbulence. I was about to puke. But I think pretty much everybody's been through turbulence. But I wanted to play this audio because this is just something straight out of Final Destination. But it is kind of funny. They did land. But the guy giving the commentary and that was filming it was absolutely hilarious. Now, the guy that's saying what's going on, he is the filmmaker. He is the guy that is recording it with his phone. And I don't know, like, I know that if I was, I don't even know if you could even stream from an airplane. You know how they always say, ooh, you got to turn your plane or phone on airplane mode because it could mess up and crash the plane. I wonder if you could stream, because I would want to stream it just in case we all went down in a fireball and crashed into the ground and everybody died. I would like for it to at least be documented, but I don't even know if you could stream. Even if they did have Wi-Fi on the plane, I'm sure the stream wouldn't be as good as this. So luckily the guy survived so we could get this grade A piece of audio.
What is going on?
I'm going to post this video to my social media. You can just find me. Just search Tuttle. Tuttle with two D's. T-U-D-D-L-E. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all that good stuff. I'm even going to put it on my Reddit page where you can see this. But man, without even seeing the video, you can just hear the terror. And I almost sounded like George Bush when I said terror, terror. But you can hear the terror and the voices and just the sound of the passengers on the plane. The best thing about this audio, I know he's only saying what's going on, but you can hear just the panic in his voice as the what's going on gets louder and more emotional.
Please double check your seatbelt. Make sure everybody has the seatbelt securely fastened. Put this thing on the ground.
I mean, come on, I'm not laughing because I'm sure all these people are scared to death. But the guy's saying, put this thing on the ground. Oh, it's going on the ground one way or another, my friend. I mean, you're either going to land safely or you're really not going to know if you landed or not. But just hearing him yell, put this thing on the ground.
Put this thing on the ground.
So the next piece of audio I'm going to play for you, and I've actually met this person in person. And I got to tell you, he's a really, really nice guy. But Deion Sanders, I met Deion Sanders because a lot of you guys don't know, I used to live in a little apartment above Bubba's race shop. I was kind of like the night watchman. And Bubba was doing all the t-shirt printing for Deion's son. And Deion and his family stopped by because Deion and Bubba are like great, great friends. Like Deion and Bubba are, they could be brothers from another mother. But what I'm trying to say, great guy, but I kind of have a little bit of a problem with this. Like, I mean, you are a great player, one of the best cornerbacks of all time, one of the best athletes of all time. He's a coach now. I don't know exactly. I don't even know if it's a Division I school. I could be wrong. But just because you are a great athlete, there are so many athletes that have tried to be coaches that have absolutely failed. But I think Deion kind of handled this a little bit wrong. I kind of see where he's coming from with what he's trying to say in this piece of audio that I'm about to play for you. But don't compare yourself to the GOAT, even though it pains me to say the GOAT because I'm a Gators fan. But don't compare yourself to Nick motherfucking Saban.
Hey, Deion, I was just wondering if you could...
Oh, let's back up a little bit. You don't call Nick Saban Nick. Don't call me Deion.
Like I said, all right, I looked this up, and there's no disrespect. I'm kind of glad that Deion did not, like, jump right into some big football program, but he's the coach at Jackson State University, which is in, I think, Mississippi, and it is Division I AA. But do not compare yourself to Nick Saban. I mean, I think it is a little arrogant. I know that you're prime time. You've always had a little bit of swagger, but this is not a good way to be able to handle it. Like, Nick Saban has proven himself as a coach. You have proven yourself as an athlete, one of the greatest athletes of all time, even though I think Bo Jackson is still one of the best, is the best athlete that we have ever seen. But don't come at this reporter sideways. Just be lucky that somebody is wanting to cover your one AA division college football team.
Okay. I call Nick Saban Nick.
No, you don't. No, you don't. That's a lie. If you call Nick Nick, you know you get cussed out on the spot. So don't do that to me. Treat me like Nick.
Sorry. This is just a bad look, in my opinion. Like, seriously, Deion. I know that you're the greatest cornerback of all time. I know that I'm sounding like a broken record, but you have not proven yourself at all. I mean, you're not even playing in Division I, or you're not even coaching in Division I, and it's like Nick Saban is playing in the strongest conference. No debate about it. I know everybody wants to debate what the strongest college football conference is, but it's the SEC. SEC, hands down, best college football conference in the world, and Nick Saban, I think he's won, like, what, 7 or 8 national championships? So once you win your first national championship or win your first game in Division I football, then maybe people will start calling you Coach Sanders. Would it have been okay if he would have called you primetime? Like, seriously, I'm just asking.
Okay, Deion.
So Deion walks off. Now listening to the end of this thing, the reporter was kind of being a dick, almost kind of like he was trying to get a soundbite. He wanted to go viral because he did. He called him Deion again, and he was being a little bit of a dick. I mean, you probably should have, you know, all right, I apologize, Deion, but I don't know. I would like to hear from you. Do you think Deion crossed the line? Do you think Deion is being too arrogant or too full of himself? I mean, that is how he's always been. I mean, if you see him when he on draft day, because we used to print a bunch of those t-shirts. It's a famous picture of Deion. He's got all of his gold on. He's got the Jerry curl going, and he looks like a badass. Taking that phone call saying that he was getting drafted by the Atlanta Falcons. So, yeah, I mean, Deion, I mean, we should not be shocked by Dion's reaction on this. But I'm just saying, I would love to hear from you. Email me, Tuttle@gmail.com, or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. One last piece of audio before I go. I just wanted to, small town politics, you know, I've always talked about how I don't support any politician. I don't think any politician has the American people's best interest in their interest. I mean, it's all about the lobbyists that are lining their pockets to get elected every single year. But I think small town politics is the worst. Sometimes it can be even as worse as crooked ass presidents, crooked ass state senators, governors, whatever it may be. Hell, I could tell you all types of story about the city council here in Volusia County, or even here in the city of Oak Hill where I live at.
Do we have a house nigger in here?
People, think about this. That is an elected official that was voted by the, I don't even know where this is because I got it off the World Star Hip Hop. But, and please don't be mad at me. The only reason I did not bleep out the N-word was because I wanted you to hear the absolute racism that is coming out of this bigot's mouth, who is an elected official saying, do we have a house in? And I'm not going to explain what that means. If you live in the South, you know exactly what that means. And I know I got people all over the world that listen to it. Just do your own research. Just Google what the definition of house in, like this guy said. It is a very, very offensive thing to say. And this is an elected official.
Yeah, he is.
Okay.
I don't know if you caught that, but the woman, the African-American woman that this elected official did call a house in. Did you hear the way she said okay? I don't know, but like that always means a bad thing if you offend an African-American woman. And she says, okay, the way she said, okay, like this.
Okay.
Because that means that she's getting ready to throw down. She's taking off her fake fingernails. I'm not trying to stereotype, but she's snapping off the nails. She's taking off all of her jewelry because she is ready to throw hands.
Okay.
Dewey, hey, yeah. Dewey, would she please stand up?
Y'all are seeing this, right, camera?
Like, seriously. This is why a lot of other countries hate us. You know, we talk about how much of a great country we are, how we are the only world superpower out there, and we let this stuff go on the local level. Like, I would have had no problem, because did you hear there was another African-American gentleman in there? Like, he wasn't very happy about this. I wouldn't have had any problem if they would have started throwing chairs and just throwing hands and beat the ever-living shit out of this guy. Because you just can't do that. Like, not in this day and age. And I know that I support the freedom of speech. I support it. But this guy needs to be held accountable. He needs to get kicked out of office immediately. And the sad thing is that he won't be. He will not be, because local politics is the underbelly of our democracy here in the United States. Going to take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes to wrap up the show. You are listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
Wish you could have just flown and had your vehicle arrive a day or two later so you can enjoy more time doing what's important to you? Well, you can. Just give Starfire Transport a call. Let the professionals do the driving while you're flying. Starfire Transport specializes in RV and auto transport. They'll also haul watercraft, from boats to PWCs, cargo trailers, and more. Service available throughout the continental United States. So don't wait. Call Brian today at 574-349-4193 or 989-751-6106 for your next move. 10% off for veterans, past or present. Also, make sure to tell them Tuttle sent you for an additional discount. That's Starfire Transport. Want to support the show? Go to paypal.me/Tuttle on the Radio.
Welcome back to the Tuttle Daily Podcast, the last segment of today's show. If you'd like to donate to the cause, you know, I don't want it to make it seem like I'm panhandling. I had a lot of sponsors, And a matter of fact, if you want to be a sponsor of the show, you can easily do that. You can email me, Tuttle@gmail.com. I'll have my producer, Vulture, reach out to you. It's not like my rates are through the roof. I told you I will plug anything that you want me to. I'll plug an event. I'll plug your business. If you're a woman that has an OnlyFans page, hell, if you're a dude that has an OnlyFans page and you want to promote it, email me, Tuttle@gmail.com. Hell, I will whore myself out to you, and I will plug, and I will talk about any of your events if you want to. But if you'd like to help out to the cause, you can easily do that by going to my PayPal account and donate. Even if it's a dollar, I write every single person back, and I thank them and tell them how grateful I am for them supporting the show. Hell, even if you don't want to support the show financially, you can just tell your friends, family, loved ones about the show. But go to my PayPal, paypal.me/Tuttle on the radio. Now, a lot of people on the outside world, because like I said, with podcasts, I have people all over the world that are listening to the show that I do or the content that I'm putting out. And they always ask me, what's up with America's like fascination with guns? Now, I'm a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment, but I also do realize that some rules need to be like in place. I think a lot of the mass shootings that we have in this country is not because people have access to guns. Because if people want to get guns, they're going to get guns. Criminals, you can make all the laws in the world about guns. Criminals will find a way, because guess what? They do not follow the law of the land. It's all about mental illness. These mass shootings is about mental illness, and that's one of the things that our country is lacking in. Mental illness, you got to realize, I spent 11 days in a mental institution, and they did absolutely nothing for me but throw pills down my throat. I maybe got 2 minutes a day. It was like a cattle call going in to try to speak to the psychiatrist. Their only job is, and main concern is, to make sure that you do not try to kill yourself while you're in there. So I think if we concentrate a little bit more on mental illness, a lot of the gun violence would definitely go down. But this next piece of audio that I'm going to play for you, this guy, once again, I've talked about this time in and time out. I think the Ring doorbells, the audio is really, really good. The video is great. I mean, this isn't the best Ring doorbell, you know, the security system, quality audio or video that I've ever gotten. I played that one about that neighbor dispute that they were arguing, and the guy walked across the street and shot the husband and wife because the other guy kept calling him a pussy and a fat. I know that I shouldn't use that word. I apologize. The F word for gays, I'll start using that. Matter of fact, I may go back and bleep that out. Anyways, this guy saw this woman walk into the house. The husband was already in the house. And this guy walks up and starts knocking on the door. And this is what happened.
Are you sure? I just have a couple questions for you. Are you sure?
The one thing I am sure about is that I'm just going to buy a brand new front door, because I'm not even going to bother to open it, because I'm taking the Mossberg shotgun and I'm just blasting you right through the door with buckshot, because this is a clean shoot all day long. Like, I mean, this guy already sounds like one of the creepiest mother effers that I have ever heard in my life. Are you sure? Are you there? He keeps knocking. Yeah, clean shoot all day. I'm sorry. I'll take my chances, because guess what? Dead people can't testify.
Are you positive? I just have a couple questions for you. Are you sure? Are you positive? Are you sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. The one thing I'm sure about is that you're about to die of lead poisoning if you don't get the fuck away from my door and trying to be so horny that you want to hit on my wife.
Are you absolutely certain?
Sure. How are you?
What? Yeah? Are you sure?
Who are you?
So just to give you a little play-by-play, this is actually the husband, which the guy didn't know that was in the house. Maybe this creepy-ass dude, this rapist, this serial killer just thought that this woman lived at home by herself. But no, this is her husband talking to the crazy ass lunatic that's standing outside of his door through the Ring doorbell.
Yeah, can you hear me? What I'm looking for is for the girl that's in the house to come out here because I'm going to rape her and kill her.
Like I said, for the most part, the Ring doorbell audio is pretty pristine. And if you couldn't understand what he was saying, he admitted, I want to see the girl that's inside the house because I want to rape and kill her. Yeah, yeah, no. Clean mother effing shoot all day. And I'm telling you right now, I don't think a jury of my peers would convict me of homicide or like manslaughter. No, if this could not have happened in the state of Florida. Because if I'm telling you right now, if this happened in the state of Florida, that guy would have been dead before he even got to the I want to rape and kill your wife.
You have her open the door? I'm going to rape and kill the girl that's on the other side of this door when she lets me in. I want to rape her and kill her because I have a knife.
My dad always said, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. That's why he said this could not have happened in the state of Florida. And also, at least he wanted to rape and kill her. You know, like, maybe, does it make it worse if he was a necrophiliac and he said, no, I want to kill her, then rape her? I don't know. Can you even rape somebody that's dead? I mean, it's just some of the things that run through my fucked up head anyways. It's just, I don't know, man. It disturbs me. And going back to the gun violence thing, mental illness is a problem. This guy has to be mentally disturbed. He's not on his medication. He's never been treated or seen by a psychiatrist, even though I don't trust any psychiatrists anymore. Because once again, their answer is to throw pills down your throat because of big pharmaceutical, big pharm, lining the pockets of our politicians. See, I mean, this kind of like it goes around in a circle. Everything connects. And I didn't even mean to do that. I'm talking about the politicians and why they get to where they are because of the lobbyists. And one of the biggest lobbyists is the big farm people. So this guy has to be mentally disturbed. And also, at the same time, I also have the right to blast this guy right through the front door and not even bother opening it. Before I go, I wanted to talk about one last thing. I had a really, really busy day. And I know this is something that people don't want to talk about. But if you have parents that are older or you have kids or whatever, and I'm not saying anything bad about my parents at all. I'm really, really not, because a lot of people don't like to talk about this. But get a will, get power of attorney, all of that good stuff, because it has been an absolute nightmare for me and my mom, because my dad, my mom, didn't have will, didn't have power of attorney, did not have anything at all. My dad got this life insurance policy like when I was like 1 or 2 years old. And they've been paying in on this thing. I'm about to turn 42. And so say 40 years, they've been paying in on this. I did the math and it's like over like, I don't know, it's like close to $20,000 that they paid into this. And since my mom or my dad does not have the original policy of where the money or who it's supposed to go to, they're trying to back out on paying the policy. And I think it's absolute BS. Like, seriously, 40 years they've been paying into this, and you expect them to have the original policy because they are claiming they don't have the original policy, so they don't know who they're supposed to pay. Like, we have everything. We have the death certificate. Everything is in line. Every month has been paid for. There's been no lapse in payment. And I think the insurance company is some of the biggest crooks that we have in our country. Here, I'll give you an example. You know, through my teenage years, Florida, everybody thinks that Florida, they get hurricanes every single year. No, we had a great run of about 10 years where we had close calls, but we never got hit by a hurricane. So you got to think about the whole population of Florida paying for insurance, haven't been hit by a hurricane. And then, like, I think 2003, we ended up getting hit by four or five hurricanes. And you want to know what the insurance companies did? They started claiming poor mouth. They raised everybody's rates because, oh, we had too many hurricanes. So I don't want to hear that you don't have enough money to pay up on all these like claims after a hurricane when you guys were collecting money for 10 years and didn't have to pay out anything. Insurance companies, it's nothing but a big fucking gamble. It is. Like, they're taking your money just in case you need it. So it's kind of like a savings plan. It is your money. You've been paying into it. And they want to raise your rates just because now that they've been collecting all this money and they finally got to pay out, they don't want to do it. So now what if we can't find, because we do have a meeting with the insurance policy. I can almost guarantee you it's not going to go very, very well. And so now it's going to go to probate. And then we're going to have to pay lawyers to argue it out in court. And then guess what? That's going to take a huge chunk out of the money that my mom could be living off of. I don't want you guys to think, oh, Tuttle's just in it for the money. No, you know what? I would say fuck the money right now if I could have my dad back. But I just think that it's unfair. I think the insurance companies are taking advantage of a lot of people that are paying into it. I know that it should be the responsibility of the insurance company because, listen, you expect us to have a copy, then why shouldn't you have a copy? I'm just saying. And I just think it's a racket. And if any of you guys have any advice, if you're a lawyer, I'm sure that there are some lawyers that listen to the show that I do. I would love to hear from you. Or if you have ever dealt with this as a person, please, I'm desperately need your advice or help. Email me Tuttle@gmail.com. Or leave me a voicemail, 407-270-3044. Sorry about getting a little serious towards the end of the show. I think today's show was really, really great. I want to thank everybody for supporting the show. I hope you guys have a great day. Hope you stay safe, and I will talk to you tomorrow.
And that's the show for today. Thanks for listening to the Tuttle Daily Podcast. Hey, don't be a dickhead. Do us a favor. Like, share, and subscribe to the show. Also, check out the Tuttle category at 315live.com. The Tuttle Daily Podcast is brought to you by Starfire Transport, StitchYouUp.com, and PocketPearClub.com. Special thanks to show producer Vulture and co-host Siroc. Show voiceover service is brought to you by jcvoiceover.com and The Little Cheese Show. Download and subscribe to The Little Cheese Show everywhere podcasts are found. If you want to help support the show, go to paypal.me/TuttleOnTheRadio. You have something you want to say? Tuttle@gmail.com or leave a voicemail at 407-270-3044. To follow all Tuttle's social media, go to Tuttle.net. That's Tuttle with two Ds .net. Thanks again for all your support, and we'll see you tomorrow on the Tuttle Daily Podcast.
I get ignorant in normal situations.
What? What you mean?
What the fuck you mean?
What are you talking about?
Nigga, what the fuck is you talking about?
Oh, shit.